Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study, Lesson Number 83, October the 19th, 2009. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You'll heard me quote that verse. That's the New American Standard Translation. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. The day-by-day unfolding of the Father's eternal sovereign grace plan of the ages is a manifestation of the revealed will of God. The Father hath both a secret will and a revealed will. You have heard me teach that many times. We emphasize Deuteronomy 29:29, the importance of the verse in understanding the Father's plan of the ages and what He is doing. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do the words of this law. The Father's secret will is the work of God behind the scenes of creation history and is incomprehensible to the Adamic human race. His revealed will is recorded in totality in the written word of God. The moment we were saved, we were immediately placed in Christ. Being in Christos, in Christ, changed everything that you and I have, because we moved from the satanic world culture into God's spiritual world culture. We were transferred from the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of His Son, who is the light of the world. John 14:20 says, "At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Romans 8:1, one of the great passages of Scripture for believers to memorize and understand. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The words "who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit" are probably not in the original text, but are interpolated from the context of the entire passage. When you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Christ, our position in Christ, is the great issue. Through our position in Christ, the Father gave us a complete package of salvation, grace, blessings. Ephesians 1:3 teaches this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ." The Father placed His seed within us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." His seed is our human spirit. Romans 8:16 makes clear that believers have a human spirit that the unbeliever does not have. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God." 2 Corinthians 7:13. "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceeding the more joy we are for the joy of Titus, because he, as that Titus' spirit, was refreshed by you all, the possession of the human spirit." And that famous passage we've quoted so often, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Holy Spirit regenerated our human spirit, and we became spiritually alive. As Christ talked to Nicodemus that night, he came to him as recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, dealing with the issues of regeneration and the new birth. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, Can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The necessity for the new birth grew out of the incapacity of the natural man to see or enter into the kingdom of God. However gifted, moral, or refined the natural man is, absolutely blind to spiritual truth and impotent to enter the kingdom. For he can either obey, understand, or please God. That's clearly taught when you put John 3:3, 5, and 6 with Psalm 51:5, Jeremiah 17:9, Mark 7:21-23, 1 Corinthians 2:14, Romans 8:7-8, Ephesians 2:3. The new birth, as we have pointed out to you many times, is not the reformation of the old nature, but a creative act of the Holy Spirit. It's taught in John 3:5, 1:12, and 13, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 2:10 and 4:24. The condition of the new birth is faith in Christ crucified, John 3:14 and 15, 1:12 and 13, Galatians 3:24. Through new birth, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature and life of Christ himself, Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 2:10, 4:24. Colossians 1:27, 1 Peter 1:23-25, 2 Peter 1:4, 1 John 5:10-12. So it became a valuable issue and important to us to understand. The Holy Spirit regenerated our human spirit and we became spiritually alive. As we possess a body, soul, and spirit, we are a trichotomous person again, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells our body, soul, and spirit. John 7:39. Then answered the son to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to him, if you were of Abraham, I'm sorry, I just read you 8:39. 7:39 is not a verse I could quote off the top of my head. I flipped my Bible too quick. But this spake he of the Spirit, which he believed in him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Used to know that verse, but some verses I don't recall as quickly anymore. John 14:16, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever and ever. Romans 5:5. And hold make it not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Christ took up residency in our human spirit. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Father took up residency in our human spirit. Ephesians 4:6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Therefore our body became the temple of the triune Godhead. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, if the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. As believers, our future is guaranteed by the Father's eternal, perfect plan. This comprehensive protocol plan of the ages, Ephesians 1:9-14. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. him also who have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ Jesus, or in Christ, I'm sorry, whom you have trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption, the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Therefore our body became the temple of the triune Godhead. Believers, our future is in the Father's eternal perfect plan. Also 1 Peter 1, 1 to 5. We are God's temple. We fit into his plan. 1 Peter 1, 1 to 5. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 1, 1 to 5, yeah. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, or kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, with that as our background, we're now ready to begin to understand that there are two cultures, and we were placed in the one culture when we became a part of the royal family of God. The other culture is the satanic culture. The two have run the gamut of history, beginning with the Adamic human race outside the Garden of Eden, with the development of two city-states, the one the Adamic city-state nation, and the other the Kinetic civil city-state nation, when Cain rebelled against God and against his father. All right, before we begin, you have to make sure that you are operating and able to take in doctrine through the filling of the Spirit with objectivity. This means that you have no known and confessed sin in your life. And shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, for accomplish all you desire, as far away as you sanctified and blessed. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. The Father's eternal sovereign grace plan of the ages is absolutely comprehensive. It takes in all things. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And I shall do all, and I will do all my pleasure. It's the Father's eternal, comprehensive plan of the ages. The perfect plan is laid out for you and for me. We have to recognize it and recognize how to function within the Father's plan. Not within human plans, but within the Father's plan. The Father's plan included its ending from the beginning. It had to be established before the beginning of all creation. In reality, it has no ending because it's eternal plan. Therefore, the Father's plan was written in infinity to cover every detail of finite creation history. Temporal world, fixed limit time, and future new world, eternal chronological time. God the Father is never caught by surprise. In his omniscience, he eternally knows all things that will occur in creation history. The Father's plan is an everlasting plan. Ephesians 3, 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who said, believe him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God the Father's eternal sovereign plan is wise holy and perfect. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Exalt the Lord our God and worship in his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Psalm 99:9. It's important to understand that God is limited by his eternal perfection and holiness. God will not and cannot do anything that will defile his perfect, holy, eternal being. God cannot in any way destroy perfection, because to do so, he would have to violate part of the total essence of his holy being. And he can't do that. He is immutable, unchangeable God, perfection. And the infinite perfection cannot be in any way distorted. So you understand, his perfect plan takes all the events into consideration. God does not condone evil. Any form or fashion. His perfection prevents him from doing this. James 1:13 makes this clear. The lust trends of our nature of corruption, i.e. the old sin nature, produce sinful temptations. James 1:14. We've already taught this to you. Each one of us daily make free will decisions to commit sin. James 1:15 with Exodus 20. Each one of us daily makes decisions, free will decisions to commit sin. James 1:15 with Exodus 20:20. Psalm 4:4, Ephesians 4:26, and 1 John 2:21 are not to commit sin. Hebrews 12:3-4. The Father's comprehensive plan restricts on how far sin and evil can go. Psalm 76:10. When a spiritually mature believer is living for God, Satan must get the Father's permission before he can test the believer's loyalty to God. Job 1:6-12 and 2:1-8. We looked at this in a previous class, along with the whole concept of God's the Father's eternal sovereign grace plan in action. Now, we must understand that the Father's plan was designed to glorify the Son by adding to the eternal, infinite glory of God finite human glory through hypostatic union. The Father's plan was wise and perfect. There was no distortion whatsoever in it. During the dispensation of grace of God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling over creation history from his heavenly throne at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 1:1-14. With 2:5-8. 5-18. Christ is ruling in accord with the Father's complete decretive will, secret and revealed. Now, we must understand some things that relate to the spiritual warfare and the angelic conflict at this point. There are two cultures in history. These two cultures, you know, there are various cultures that have developed out in history, and I have dealt with them and taught you some concepts of them taken from the human viewpoint. Oswald Spengler, in his Decline of the West, very clearly identified with and made clear various human cultures from the philosophy of politics and history to understand the spirit of the contemporary, what he called contemporary spiritual epics. There's contemporary spiritual epics dealt with the Indian, the classical, the Arabian, the Western, the Egyptian. They're cultural concepts. They looked at patterns that can be found in each one of these cultures. Also the and the breakdown of it you could see pre-cultural periods, development, and civilization concepts. He also dealt with the Chinese. Now, and what he called the Western. The development of the cultures under Spengler were built from the viewpoint of humanism and human identification. People fail to understand that what he was writing on was the development of various aspects in different ways that came out of what is all one's concept, the satanic culture. Now, at times, parts of the culture came under the influence of the spiritual culture. It goes back to the angelic conflict, to the kingdoms of light and darkness. There is the culture of God the Son that was introduced to Adam as spiritual light, and the culture that Satan introduced into the world system with Cain, but both of them go back beyond this. We must understand certain personality as source influences of cultural ideologies developed in practice by created beings, first in the angelic prehistory and secondly in human beings. Cultural ideology refers to a body of ideas and traditions used to express a sense of value held by a group of people living as citizens of a nation. These ideas express the group's consensus or agreement as their value. The Two Cultures of the Angelic Conflict by my longtime friend Carl Neal, North Hills Community Church in Bakersfield, California, lays a tremendous groundwork for this. The early cultural development of ideas among Adam's descendants saw a very high value placed upon marriage, family, and community. This would develop out in the nations. The reality is that there were two nations set up at the beginning. They were set up in the most informal state, but they would develop up the concept of the latter. It was possible under the, and did exist under the, in the antediluvian world, city-state national governments. Because Christ taught it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. This meant kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. So therefore these kingdoms and nations had to have existed. We've taught this before. But you have the law of the divine establishment for temporal living, consisting of the law of individuality, in which you understand we've given you this many times. You have volition, you have privacy, you have responsibility for making good decisions, you have property rights, the right to benefit from your decisions, and accountability. You must reap what we sow. The God's law of sowing and reaping. You have marriage between one man and one woman as God originally designed it. Anything else from that is a distortion of it and therefore is not in accordance with it. We must recognize that the law of the divine establishment of temporal living was set up by God the Father in His plan for the good of society, but they are distorted by sin and evil. The family coming out of marriage, children that God adds to it, in relation to preserve personal freedom, which is the law and the law of individuality, to preserve the marriage and preserve the family. The nation was not to have superior authority over the individual, the marriage, and the family. The marriage and the family were to provide the balance. If personal freedom is taken too far, you have anarchy. If national government is taken too far, you have tyranny. Out of marriage and family would come the development of the emphasis of the moral values that were extremely high in Adam's earthly descendants. His children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, following the way of Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, expressed his perspective of the times in which he lived at the first advent by identifying the culture of Jerusalem as an evil generation. Look at Matthew 12, 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now this refers to the fallen angelic controlled society under the influence of demons and evil spirits. It manifests specific historical signs in all areas of government and in the groups of people. An evil generation is the manifestation of the satanic way of life. Ephesians 2:1-2 lay down the concepts of the satanic way of life. And you, the King James says, hath he quickened, is interpolated, doesn't belong there, who were dead in trespasses and sin. When in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now listen to what I've got to say here. We're dealing with important doctrinal issues. The New American Standard reads it this way, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead is separated from God because of sin. Spiritual death, Charles Ryrie says. If a man continues in a state by continuing to reject Christ, spiritual death becomes the second death, eternal separation from God, Revelation 20:14. Verse 2 says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. The unbeliever walks in step with the satanic world system, according to the prince of the power of the air, the prince is Satan. The prince of the power of the air is his authority over all fallen angels. Of the spirit, now the spirit is a satanic spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience is a Hebraism for disobedient people. Those who disobey God. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh and die indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath even as the rest. Before salvation we were under the satanic culture, whether we knew it or not. Our influence was totally within the satanic culture. Christians fail to understand the fact that there are two types of nations that exist at a given point of time. A client nation, which is a nation where there is still the spiritual freedom to publicly evangelize the lost for Jesus Christ, to publicly teach Bible doctrine, the Word of God, to believers, and to publicly declare the laws of the divine establishment for temporal living to promote the truth as it relates to the law, to all seven of the laws, creation law, which we often call natural law, or as it relates to all of creation outside the Adamic human race, and then the Adamic human race laws, which fall into six categories. The first category is the biological laws of the physical body. The second is the psychological laws of the human soul. The third is individuality, which we've taught you in such great detail. The fourth is marriage. The fifth is family. I'm sorry. Got my numbers off here. I do that sometimes. You got to recognize, not as young as I was, sharp as I was, and I was teaching something not directly in my notes. Creation law, of course, is the first law, covers all of creation. Human biological is the physical body law, is second. Thirdly is the human psychological soul law. Third, fourth, individuality law. Five, marriage law. Six, family law. And seven, the independent nation law. I got my numbers twisted up there, so you clearly understand this. It was Pastor Carl Leal many, many years ago who called to my attention the creation law, human biological, physical body law, and human psychological soul law had to be included as well as the other four in the law of the divine establishment for temporal living. We're willing to give credit where credit is due. And over the years, we've benefited from Pastor Neal's teaching along with a lot of other people, because it often has spurred us to go on to advanced studies in a certain area where we had only had a little illumination. It motivated us. We're thankful anointed him and for them having made available to us his teaching ministry. We have other men that we have benefited from the same way and continue to do so. We have never claimed to have a monopoly on the Word of God. It does not mean that we always see everything exactly the way they do or what we develop out of, but they would all agree with always. But we must understand the issues. Culturally, the satanic world culture would develop out, and the unbeliever lies underneath this. Whether he knows it or not, it does not matter. If he came out of the Indian culture, which began with the Vedic religion, the birth of the myth of the grand style expressing the new God feeling and world fear and world longing, and the Aryan hero tales, and the rural intuitive great creations of the newly awakened dream were heavy soul, super personal unity and fullness. The earliest mystical metaphysical shapings of the new world outlook, Zenith of Scholasticism, which was reserved in the older parts of the Vedas. The spring of the satanic Indian culture. The summer began with the Reformation, the internal popular opposition to the great springtime forms. Brahmanas, the oldest part of the Upanishads, 10th and 9th centuries B.C. The Vedic goes back to 1500 to 1200 religion days and the days that began the development up. And by the 10th and 9th century B.C., we had the Brahmins, oldest parts of the Upanishads. The beginning of the purely philosophical form of world-feeling opposition of idealistic and realistic systems were preserved in the Upanishads. The formation of new mathematic concepts of number as copy and content of world form. The records have been lost relating to that and their relationship, though we can see it in the classical. The classical, the parallel of the Vedic religion, was 1100 to 800 B.C. in the Hellenic Italian Demeter religion of the people. The tales of Homer, Hercules, and Thusis legends. The early metaphysical shapings of the New World outlook in the Zenith of Scholasticism, the oldest oral Orphic, the Etruscan discipleship, the after effect Hesiod and Cosmogonies, that brought about the spring of the classical culture. There's some of the Reformation, the internal popular opposition to the great springtime forms we saw in the Orphic movement. The Dionysic religion, Numa religion of the 7th century B.C., and fourthly became the beginning of the purely philosophical form of the world feeling opposition of idealistic and realistic systems as seen in the great pre-Socrates 6th and 5th centuries. If you value the great, it's the classical religion and the height has been given by Western philosophers and historians. Fifth was the formation of the new mathematic concept of numbers, copy, and content in world form. While this is lost in the Indian culture, it is the number as magnitude, proportional, geometry, arithmetic, and the Pythagoras from 540 B.C. The sixth phase, also lost in the Indian but not in the classical, was the Puritanism, rationalistic, mystic improvisations of religion, Pythagorean society from 540 B.C. on. The autumn of the classical was seen in began the intelligence of the city, the zenith of strict intellectual creatism, the enlightenment belief in almightiness of reason, the cult of nature, rational religion. This can be seen with the sophist of the 5th century B.C. Socrates died in 399 B.C. Democritus died in 360 B.C. In the Indian culture, this was the sutras, the Sankha, Buddha, and later the Upanishads. The eighth part was the zenith of the mathematical thought, elucidation of the form of world of numbers. Archias, who died in 365 B.C., Plato, who died in 346 B.C., the conic sections developed out in there. And the Indian section, part of its loss, but zero became the number there. Then we come now to the ninth parallel, the great conclusive system. Plato in 346 was when his death date, and Aristotle, who died in 322 B.C. in the classical period. In the Indian period, we had the idealism, yoga, and Vedanta, the epistemology of Vaishastra, the logic of Mahaya. And finally, the winner of these two cultures came, the dawn of the megalopolis quality of civilization, extension of spiritual creation forces, life itself became problematic, ethical, practical tendencies of an irreligious and unmetaphysical cosmopolitanism. The tenth stage was the materialistic world outlook cult of science, utility, and prosperity. In the classical cult, it was seen with the cynics, Cyrenaics, the last sophist, Pyrrhon. In the Indian, it was in the Sahaya, the Tescharvaka, Lakoyata. The 11th stage was the ethical social ideas of life, epic of unmathematical philosophy, seen in Hellenism, Epicureanism. Epicurus died in 270 BC, Zeno died in 165 BC. In the Indian, it was seen in the tendencies that came out of the Buddha's time. The 11th was the inner completion of the mathematical form world, the concluding thought. In the classical, it was seen in Euclid, Apollonius, somewhere around 300 BC. Archimedes, about 250 BC. The records are lost in the Indian culture. The 13th stage is the degradation of abstract thinking into professional lecture room philosophy. Compendium literature is seen in the classical with the Academy, the Peripatos, the Stoics, the Epicureans. In the Indian, it was seen in the sixth classical system. And finally, the spread of the final world sentiment, the Hellenistic Roman Stoicism from 200 BC in the classical culture, and Indian Buddhism in the Indian culture. All these things are direct developments out of the concept of the satanic culture that began with Cain for the Adamic human race, but must go back before this to find it. The culture that Jesus described as an evil generation, when he spoke to the Pharisees in John chapter 8 and gave them that great, powerful denunciation. When they challenged him, we read in verse 13, "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." They called him a liar. In verse 44, he looked at these religious leaders, these judges and lawyers, these people who held legal authority over him, life and death over him to the Sanhedrin. Well, not death, because they'd been, during the time of Pilate, at that point we learned they had been forbidden. Other times they had the power of death itself. Those who could command that he be given 39 stripes in any synagogue. He looked at these powerful men and he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in it. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe him not." The historical man of destiny, the man who lives with us and dies with honor. I'm sorry, got the hiccups all of a sudden. The one who is committed to, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, can understand these things, and he will not blindly follow the satanic cultural system, even when it is incorporated into some system of law, statutory law. We do not live under kings in America today, and the president does not have the power of a king. Our highest authority is not the king's word. Our highest authority is supposed to be the Constitution of the United States of America. It's supposed to be the supreme authority in the land. It's taken the place of a man, a paper, a written document. But even above that, as we coined the term long ago, biblical constitutionalism, we must center everything upon what saith the word of the living God. Satan has a demonetically controlled society, which was there in Christ's day with the evil generation. One of the signs that Jesus mentions has to do with mystic faith, trust and healing, miracles. The supernatural interference with the negative circumstances of daily life. People are looking for a quick fix to their problems, which ignore the solutions presented by the way of Seth, which came out of the Adamic kingdom, as viewed in the daily ministry of the God-man. most of the Adamic culture abandoned Adam and went with Cain. And then Seth came up, the new generation, the new movement. All of them did not, because they were there as though for it. And the city-state outside of Eden became the spiritual center, and their rulers of the national rulers are recorded in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. One of the signs that Jesus mentioned was the mystic, then, faith, trust, healing, miracles. These things are brought down to us in the warnings of the Laodicean church. There's one spiritual culture and one three-part cosmic culture. The spiritual culture can only develop within the client nation, except when Israel was a priest nation, because they had an official priestly order set up by God. The development of the cosmic culture in human history began with the way of Adam. After a time, it changed in the way of Cain. Adam fell, but Adam was redeemed. Adam became a prophet of God. But the human way was the way of Adam, which became the way of Cain. Eventually, it descended to the level of cosmic three, the way of demons, a total degeneration of human customs, an evil generation. Once an evil generation controls a community or a nation, God begins to restrain it for the purpose of control or order under the administration of free will. Now, some of the basic rules were found in the Father's appeal covenant or contract he made with Lucifer, and through Lucifer with the fallen angels who followed him. Lucifer, the angel who was tried and convicted of leading the rebellion against God and his righteous way of life, the life that's called good in the Garden of Covenant, the altar covenants and the cultural covenants with Christ, relate to the church age, the tribulation, the millennial cultures, covenants. God makes contracts or covenants in his dealing with people, and there are rules that relate to them. The term good we use as terminology, a language of accommodation for the way of life authored and energized by the kingdom of God the Father, set forth for the Adamic human race under the direction and instruction of God the Son. It is not simply an abstract idea, but rather a word used to describe God's cultural life form, which was rejected, originally given to and rejected by the fallen angels, accepted by the holy elect angels. Their preference is a life form that gives the creature more control over his own existence, more freedom to live as he pleases without accountability to God. This life form is called evil because it is destructive to God's purpose of creature life enhancement. God desired to give us the best, the abundant life. But man rejects the abundant life just like the fallen angels rejected the abundant life that they had in the presence of God. There are seven rules behind the great experiment which permits creatures to choose a way of life rejected and condemned by God. They define why historical realities occur in specific ways. They explain why the Father doesn't answer certain prayers, actually withdraws various conditional grace promises so that Satan can promote or prosper the one who is choosing to follow his evil way. This all comes under and found in the doctrine of the appeal bond that the Father placed in his covenant with Satan when he let him go out on appeal. Satan appeal, we believe, his sentence to the lake of fire was based upon several things. The first of these was the fact that how can a living God send one of his created beings to the lake of fire? We learned this from Pastor Robert B. Thiem Jr., Baraka Church, Houston, Texas, some many, many years ago. He brought it to our attention. He's with the Lord now. Secondly, we raised the issue that we felt there was a second parallel to it that we developed out of our own studies. How could a just God not send Lucifer to the lake of fire, therefore creating a paradox? He felt that God could not answer. A loving God could not send him. A just God had to send him, and therefore the holiness of God would be out of step with the love of God. And this could not be in a perfect being. Pastor Carl Neal, Bakersfield, California, introduced a third one to me. And that is the challenge of the fact that how could it, that Satan challenged on the ground is an infinite God cannot understand the needs of finite man. In infinite perfection, he cannot determine finite. I think he's right. I think all three are part of the appeal. So I'm willing to learn from other men too. Well, in the appeal, God set down the preservation of volition. That's his first rule. God is sovereign, but God has the right to limit his own sovereignty at a given point of time for his own purpose without surrendering his ultimate sovereignty. God created volition and gave it to man. Therefore, both the Father and Lucifer will honor the free will choices of the human race. Creation's fourth beginning is participants in the resolution of the angelic conflict. Free will is the basis of all sin judgments and conditional grace blessings. Therefore, if a person chooses to do something that the Father has previously condemned, neither the circumstances nor the outside influence is considered a factor in appointing guilt. Even if a person is under someone else's authority and is ordered to do something evil or sinful, he is still held accountable for his choices. We enforce this very thing in the Nuremberg war crime trials. Today, many Americans fail to understand the parallel. We repeat then, free will or volition is the basis of all sin judgments and conditional grace blessings. God responds to us. God's directive will says, do this. Through the filling of the Spirit and the application of Bible doctrine, I will bless you. Do not do this. Because if you commit this sin of the permissive will of God, I will discipline you. Even if a person is under someone else's authority and is ordered to do something evil or sinful, he is still held accountable for his choice. He does not have to do it. Under this covenant or contract rule, which is the bond that Satan was released under, the Father is the highest authority based on his sovereignty. Now, free will is limited for children, the mentally retarded, and those who have some form of dementia to the point of being unable to produce rational judgments. Certain diseases, such as Alzheimer's, can render the free will of a believer or unbeliever unaccountable for ways of life choices, which are issues under this covenant. Under the Father's rules for testing and temptation, after a person has reached the age of accountability, volition in regard to the way of life choices cannot be coerced by Satan, the demons, or by God himself. There is no coercion. There is the influence. There can be demon influence, but not coercion. Demon possession cannot come into someone until they have made their lifestyle choice. Satan is allowed to indwell certain human beings who have made clear the way of life they prefer. However, the Father will visit them from time to time to break their satanic hypnotic trance. This is seen illustrated when the Lord Jesus Christ cast out demons and evil spirits. The satanic indwelling does not force the one indwelt to make certain choices, seeing that the choices are being made by the demon or evil spirit within him. Usually demon indwelling occurs in a person who has disabled his will to the point that he doesn't understand he has options. But even here, free will is being preserved. He has choices but didn't perceive them because of his dedication to the evil creature-orientated way of life. The use of narcotics, drugs that are mind-altering can bring this about. The second rule of the bond was the two kingdom ideologies would be presented to the human race for the purpose of choosing one or the other. This presentation would be given time and space in human history during the first advent of the human race, from the creation of the Adamic human race to the White Throne Judgment. Both the Father and Lucifer will present their respective way of life ideology beginning in the Garden of Eden, first with Adam, then Eve and their children. This explains why Lucifer was present in the garden following his trial and sentencing to the prison planet, the Lake of Fire. His right to be there was based on a great experience and appeal covenant authorization to present his plan to anyone who would listen. The Father did not prevent Lucifer from stating his ideology, seeing it was part of resolving the ideological war between himself and all of the angels who rebelled against him, the fallen unholy angels. The Father did not prevent Lucifer then from stating his ideology. The symbols of the preservation were created during the six-day restoration of the earth, namely 12 hours of light, symbolic of God's way of life, and 12 hours of darkness, symbolic of Satan's creature way of life. All right, so we see the contrast between light and darkness for man in the six-day restoration of the earth as bringing about to typify that there are two ways of life. It is the Father's desire that evil be given freedom to manifest itself under His permissive will, so that the angels and the human race can observe its destructive results and all who embrace it. The entire antediluvian civilization that developed under Cain and brought about the destruction of all the human race but eight people should have been a warning to all those that's on this side of the flood in the post-diluvian civilization. That what came out of the antediluvian civilization could not be recognized and accepted, but instead Ham, the influence of his wife, who was born again, but who was descendant of the line of Cain, introduced the influence of it. In the second generation, it was particularly clear in his son Canaan, but was also dormantly there in Cush, because it was Cush's son Nimrod, not Canaan's son, who became the great leader of the rebellion and the developer of the cultural system of degeneracy that came out as a proof and manifestation of the total depravity of man after the flood. We've dealt with this before, and we will deal with it again. Lucifer was allowed to be in the garden. Now, Adam had been told to Shamar to guard the garden. So when Lucifer came to present an anti-God program, Adam had volition to seize Lucifer and hold him in the form of the serpent that he appeared in, until Christ came in the cool of the evening and to confront him with it. Instead, Adam allowed Lucifer to run around in the serpent form and influence Eve to the point that she bought, became deceived and bought the satanic lie. It is the Father's desire that evil be given freedom to manifest itself under His permissive will then, so that the angelic world, the sons of El, the spirit beings, and the Adamic human race can observe its destructive results, and any and all who accept it. It is the Father's even greater desire that His good be given freedom to manifest itself so that its beneficial results in the lives of those who embrace and practice it can be seen. Under the rules of the Appeal Covenant, Satan is given freedom to present the creature-centered way of life to all human beings, which the Father has the right to present His creature's creator-centered way of life to human beings who reach the covenant age of accountability. Their free will decision. You see what happened in the Supreme Court of Heaven. When Satan made his appeal, the Father said, all right, I'll set up a bond with you, and in setting up this bond with you, we'll do this. I will allow you to tempt the human race. I'm going to create a new race of people. I'll allow you to tempt them by presenting your propaganda program. But I will be free to present my propaganda program to them too, which is not propaganda but truth. You have propaganda, I have truth. I will present my truth against your propaganda. And each person will choose one or the other, which will be their lifestyle, which will be their way, the way of God, or the way of Satan. Now, the way of Satan takes two styles. They can follow the way of Adam, which evidently Adam, even though Adam was a prophet of God, we know this from Scripture, he was a prophet from the beginning at the same time. The salvation of Adam afterwards, as Adam began to toil, Adam apparently, and I taught this for years, settled down in the world system of survival. He had his altar, he had his spiritual worship, he was a prophet and spokesman for God. But Scripture is silent that Adam, on anything related to Adam's life afterwards, so evidently Adam, simply under the burden of having lost all in the Garden of Eden, that it was of value to him, except for his wife. And she was the one who had tempted him, and their marriage had been damaged. So Adam settled down to a survival mode, to a day-by-day mode. He worshiped God. He built an altar. He taught his children how to worship God correctly. If he had not taught them correctly, then God would not have been able to accept Abel's offering and reject Cain's. There had to be a standard there. He had communicated truth. He's called a prophet because we're told in Luke, we're told in Hebrews, there were prophets. present from the beginning. We've taught this before, and Adam was the one at the beginning. But he settled down, and the system became quiet until Seth came on the scene and reached adulthood and went positive to the things of God at the birth of his own son. And there was a revival. Before that, there was just a mundane lifestyle, we could say, of the way of Adam. So then we develop out the way of Seth, the spiritual line, the inclination line, the influence for God line, versus the line of Cain, the worldly system line, which could take itself down into immorality, and degeneracy, or moral degeneracy, or religious degeneracy. So the two kingdoms were to be presented. This is the second rule. Both would present themselves. The third rule was no limitation on verbal presentations of either the Father or Lucifer pertaining to their respective way of life. Since Lucifer's program is based on deceit, he is free to say anything he pleases in his attempts to seduce or lure human beings to believe that his creature-oriented way of life is best for soul enhancement. Both the Father and Lucifer can use any means they choose to attract humans to their quality of life. The only restriction is against violating free will, which is the first rule of the bond. Both the Father and Lucifer can use any means they choose to attract humans into their quality of life. The Father's format is to woo the unbeliever through the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Convicting us to illustrate, I'm sorry. This involves opening the eyes of the unbeliever's soul to comprehend his existence and to encourage him to pursue intimacy with him and his way of life. Convicting him of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Through the filling ministry of the Spirit, the Father can open the eyes of the believer to the realities of his way of life, including his ideology and protocols for dealing with historical issues. Once the Father brings the believer into his way of life, he permits Satan to test or tempt him to do evil, as manifested in the book of Job. He has to choose. The believer must choose you this day whom you shall serve, as Joshua put it. Will the believer practice his beliefs and way of thinking, or will he go AWOL for the Christian way of life and buy into the satanic world system? Or will he follow the neutralized way of Adam, which is still a part of the satanic world system, by just getting himself so mundane in his lifestyle, doing the things of survival, that all else is lost? Satan can lie, deceive, or use any tactic he please short of violating free will, but he must gain permission from the Father to do it. This is taught in Job chapters 1 and 2. Now remember, Satan is out on bond. He is limited in what he can do. The overruling will of God can step in. If Satan or any of his angels violate this covenant agreement, they can be placed in prison. Evidently, the fallen angels who violated the covenant through the sexual conspiracy to pollute the human bloodline, found in Genesis chapter 6, resulted in their being placed in a Tartarus to wait the final judgment of the angelic creatures. Evidently did this without Satan's permission, or if Satan gave, because Satan was left out on bond and they were not. If the unbeliever rejects the Father's wooing and buys into Satan's creature orientation, the Father will bring his testing methods in order to demonstrate the ineffectiveness of evil to deal with suffering. That's why there's so much suffering in the world. Suffering is to tell us that the satanic way will not cut it. Once the Father's message of truth is given to a person, they become saved. He gives them information to preserve their soul from the satanic lies, as seen in Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. All right, we've dealt with the first three rules concerning all of the covenants that the Father made with the Adamic human race. The preservation of volition, the two kingdom ideologies, that of God the Father and that of Lucifer, would be presented. And that there would be no limitation on verbal presentations by either the Father, who can only give truth, or Lucifer, pertaining to their respective way of life. We'll pick up here in the next class and continue to understand and develop out the divine spiritual culture versus the satanic culture. Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim we came, your promise, it will not return void, but accomplish what you designed it for. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.